This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ba, 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 ba. How we doing on this Tuesday morning, 4:05 in the a.m.? McMonagle here with you. I got you for another hour until the warm-up show. Taking your calls at 888-808-1019. We got Fleegs on the other side. We've done it all. We've covered it all. From my fat face to the spinning of the culture quarterback wheel. Today we went through Matthew Stafford as an option for the New York Jets now that they've spurned Aaron Rodgers, and we started with Sean Manaea. We spoke on Stanton as well, but the Sean Manaea injury for the New York Mets, as now their rotation has lost its second major piece. And I know the GM likes to talk about the depth of this starting rotation. Well, now there is no depth. Now the depth is in the rotation. Griffin Canning, say hello. Paul Blackburn, what's up? This is now the rotation of the New York Mets. We'll see if McGill is part of it. He does have options. I would expect him probably to be sent down because they don't want to lose the other two names I just mentioned. But here's the problem I have. And here's why I think the Mets do need to go out and bring in Quintana. I mean, he's there. He's available. He pitched well for them last year and pitched brilliant for them in the second half of the season. I think it's almost a borderline miracle. I'm surprised he hasn't signed already. The idea that he's sitting there waiting for you is a borderline miracle, considering the last 2 years he's pitched to an ERA under 4. Like, I'm surprised someone hasn't picked him up, and I wouldn't be surprised if that doesn't change relatively quickly. But here's my point, because you could talk about whether or not the Mets have depth at the starting pitching, and you can talk, and I listened to Evan a little bit in his podcast, and he's talking about you might not need a sixth starter until you get to April 19th or whatever day he said, late April, and you know the manager came out and said, hey, he might be able to start throwing in 7 days or 14 days or 21 days. Let me tell you about time frames for starting pitchers. And then don't even listen to me. Listen to David Stearns. David Stearns tells you in the way he handles the rotation what he believes about pitchers' injuries and how detrimental they can be to a season and to a pitcher's career, because he doesn't pay for starting pitching, doesn't believe in it, doesn't want to give long-term contracts, doesn't want more than 1 or 2 year deals for starting pitching for the most part. Like, he doesn't believe in starting pitching for this precise reason. Because starting pitchers, you could tell me Manaea is going to throw a ball in 7 days. You could tell me he's going to throw a ball in 14 days, 21 days. We have no idea. Obliques are tricky. The idea that the manager came out and said, well, typically these injuries heal quickly. Obliques heal quickly? I've never seen an oblique injury heal quickly. These things take forever. And as a Yankee fan, I can tell you from last year dealing with the Martian and Jason Dominguez's oblique injury to a couple years ago, Aaron Judge's oblique injury. Now, not obliques are the same. I don't know, maybe the grade of this oblique strain isn't that severe, but you cannot count on a starting pitcher's return in a timely fashion. And don't take my word for it. Listen to your general manager who doesn't believe in giving pitchers contracts. He tells you how he feels about pitchers' injuries and how long they persist. And you just saw last year the same thing. Oh, Senga will be back, you know, probably by the end of April, maybe May. When did we see Kodai Senga? Like, pitchers last, these injuries last a while. And we can talk about the depth till we're blue in the face. It's not quality depth. Yes, Griffin Canning made 32 starts last year. He pitched to an over 5 ERA. Paul Blackburn had a nice stretch before getting injured after the trade deadline with the New York Mets. But is this a guy you want to rely on? Let alone already relying on a converted reliever in Clay Holmes. Kodai Senga hasn't pitched in a year. And you're trying to compete. And let's be fair, you're not the Yankees competing with the Cleveland Guardians and the underachieving Baltimore Orioles, who did nothing this offseason. Or a Red Sox team that's been in last place 3 of the last 4 years, but has spent some money and got a new rotation. Like, you're competing with the Dodgers, the $380 million payroll Los Angeles Dodgers, with the San Diego Padres, with the in-your-division Atlanta Braves, who've won the division how many years and probably would have won it last year if not for injuries. The Philadelphia Phillies, whose rotation starts with arguably the best pitcher in baseball, in Wheeler. Like, that's who you're competing with. And for me, this owner, who I understand he spent a lot of money, I get it, but if you're going to treat a rotation like you want to limit to one-year deals and two-year deals and take chances on relievers you see something in like Clay Holmes or guys you're hoping can rejuvenate their careers here like Manaea and Severino last year, and you want to give out one-year contracts and rely on Griffin Cannings of the world and Tyler McGill and Paul Blackburn and not pay a lot of money and not go attack the top of the free agent market, not go look for a Blake Snell, not go look for a Max Fried, not go look for some of the top pitching market free agents. If you're going to treat it like that, then when players go down, you can't be afraid to add another one-year deal. Because if there's no such thing as a bad one-year contract, go add more. And I understand he spent $326 million and he's brought back Pete Alonso, and he went out and made the signing of the century and went and got Juan Soto. And this lineup is really good, and the back end of the bullpen has a chance to be good. This rotation is not. And there is a guy who's done it for you as recently as last year's second half, sitting out there. And I don't care we don't know the timetable. By the time we know the timetable, it might be too late. What's another one-year contract? Even if you pay Quintana and he's not as relevant to the rotation as you'd hoped, and maybe he doesn't pitch as much, and maybe this injury to Manaea isn't as long a problem as we thought, and he's back in a month, and he's ready for April 19th, and you don't miss a beat, and you never have to go to a six-man rotation without him. Like, maybe that's all true. So what if you have Quintana on the books for an extra $10 million? I know it's 20 when it comes to the luxury tax, but is it about winning or not? Every time there's an injury, it's internal, it's internal, it's internal, it's internal. Madrigal breaks his shoulder, internal, internal, internal. And they've got options internally, sure. And we talked about the depth of this rotation. It's not really great depth, but sure, there are professional pitchers there. There are major league pitchers there. There are guys who might not kill you, and they only make starts every fifth day, and there's a lot of off days at the beginning of the year, and blah, 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 blah. You are one more injury away from not having any depth. Go out and sign him. What's the worst case scenario? You spent $8 to $10 million on a pitcher you didn't use much? That sounds a hell of a lot better than not spending $10 million and having no pitcher when you need him. I don't know how long this Manaea injury is going to last, but I'll tell you this. Your GM is worried because he doesn't believe in paying pitching. You know why? This precise reason. If you're signing a bunch of one-year deals, can't be afraid to sign another. Go out and get Quintana. 888-808-1019. And then we got the curious case that is Giancarlo Stanton. Reports in the morning from NJ.com is that he's going back to New York to see Christopher Ahmad, the Yankees team doctor, to get more looks at his elbow. as he's nowhere near, apparently. No timetable for any sort of even baseball activities for Giancarlo Stanton. And then we get later in the day from Aaron Boone that, well, he's going to New York, yes, but it's for a personal reason. So who knows what to believe, nor do I care, to be totally honest with you. I hope if it's personal, I hope everything's all right with him. If it's to go see the doctor, I hope they get a better prognosis than they fear. But ultimately, I don't care what we hear. I don't care what reason. He's not with the team at the moment. He's back in New York. The elbows are bothering him enough where he hasn't even started baseball activities. And Giancarlo Stanton cannot be counted on to start this year or be here for any time in the first half. As far as I'm considering it, the regular season, we have to prepare as if Giancarlo Stanton is not going to be a Yankee. Plain and simple. Giancarlo is not a Yankee until he is, and they need to go do the same thing I was just saying the Met owner should do. Hal Steinbrenner, who's giving you a lot of double talk, yeah? He's giving you the, hey, look over here, we're going to allow Beards. Say, hey, 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 over here. Beards, we're going to be cool. Oh, look over here, here we go. No more Frank Sinatra after losses. Don't worry about it. I know you hated that. Look over here. Never mind the fact we don't have a third baseman. Never mind the fact we knew for a month that Giancarlo Stanton wasn't going to be able to start the year and we didn't do anything about it. Never mind those, you know, key details. Never mind the fact that I'm telling you that I don't correlate money with wins. Don't worry about any of that. We got Beards and we're, you know, playing That's Life instead of New York, New York at the end of the games. Those are the important things. Who cares? This Yankee lineup that's pivoted off of losing Juan Soto to go be a defensive-minded team, to go be a more athletic team, to be a pitching defense team, that's fine. You can win games that way. The Yankees don't have to be the stereotypical Bronx Bombers and hit a million home runs. That's not the only way you go and win championships. Oh, my God, look at this picture of Marco. Yeah, no, that is full-blown curly. And that went all the way down further? You're crazy. I love it. You look like Adam Sandler in Airheads. Ever seen that movie Airheads where they take over the radio station? Brendan Fraser in Airheads. Even better.
I've heard that before.
You've heard that before. Good. There you go. I've heard that before. What's that line in the movie where someone says something ridiculous? In Mr. Deeds with John Turturro's foot. Something like that. It was in Mr. Deeds. Anyway, Marco comes in here and showing me pictures, throwing me off. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah, Giancarlo Stanton and the New York Yankees need to add a bat. Right now, you can't go into the season plain and simple. This is as easy as it gets. I don't have to be a Yankee homer. I don't have to watch a bunch of Yankee games. I don't have to be a savant to tell you this. As much as the American League is down, and as much as I still think the Yankees have as good a chance as any to win the pennant, you can't go into a season without a third baseman, without a DH, without a leadoff hitter. Sorry, you just can't. And I don't want to hear that you're at $307 million and that money doesn't correlate with wins, because that's absolute nonsense. It's just true. Is that a different way of saying, hey, just because I go out and spend money doesn't guarantee they'll perform? Yeah, you got a $40 million all-world player as your captain, and he doesn't go out and perform in the postseason. So sure, spending money doesn't guarantee you a damn thing. We all get that. That's not the same as saying wins don't correlate with money. They absolutely do. And the New York Yankees right now don't have a third baseman, don't have a DH, don't have a leadoff hitter. They need to go out and solve that problem. And the only way to do it is either sign a free agent, and those options are down to like the J.D. Martinez's of the world, the Jose Iglesias's of the world, not the greatest of options, or it's trading and pretty much taking salary dumps like Nolan Arenado and or possibly my particular option in Luis Arraez. Because I know his name was bandied about early on in offseason and thoughts maybe there was a trade there. And now, you know, he's playing spring training games for San Diego and they've backed off necessarily being hot and heavy on moving him. But if I would make that call to see if they would still move him, because that solves two of my problems. That's my leadoff hitter and my DH. The problem I have with Luis Arraez is there's nowhere to play him defensively. He's hideous. He is a terrible second baseman. We complain about Gleyber Torres. This is far, far worse. But if there's a spot to play him at DH, even though he's not the prototypical DH, you're not going to get home runs from him. You're not going to get pop from him. He doesn't solve the issue of who's hitting behind Judge for protection, but it gives you a leadoff hitter that hits for has won three batting titles. He's going to have a 360 on base percentage, and he's going to be that guy you could use for a bunch of different reasons. He gets on base in front of Judge. You could play hit and run with some of the speed at the bottom of the lineup. If Dominguez or Volpe get on, the lineup turns over. There's options to play different ways, different styles of baseball, do small ball a little bit, as well as get on base at a 360 clip in front of Aaron Judge and the rest of that lineup. So for me, that is the perfect option for the New York Yankees. But bottom line is, because we could do the options all day long, all morning long at 888-808-1019, all morning long tomorrow as I'm on for 5 hours from midnight to 5 a.m. You could give me this guy and that guy. They should get this guy. They should get that guy. I hate Nolan Arenado. Luis Arraez sucks. J.D. Martinez is terrible. This one's great. You should go do that. We could have that discussion left and right. Bottom line is, the New York Yankees have known for a month they'd likely start the season without a DH. The Yankees have known all offseason that they don't have a third baseman, and the Yankees have known all offseason that they don't have someone they feel confident in hitting leadoff. Bottom line, yes, the pivot off of losing Juan Soto hurt. They went out and got better defensively. They added to their pitching staff. They added an ace pitcher. They added arguably the best closer in the game, one of the top two or three best closers in the game. They're better defensively. They're going to have Jazz for a full season. Wells turned the corner last year. You expect hopefully a good offensive Wells at the catcher position all year. Volpe looked his best in the postseason. Maybe you're going to finally get that breakout year in year three from Anthony Volpe. There's a lot of reasons to still be excited. I do believe Goldschmidt can have a good bounce back year. There are reasons to believe this team can win, of course. They're still projected to be the best team in the American League. I still forecast that for them. But this owner, who tells you he's got a chip on his shoulder off of the way the World Series ended last year, needs to do more than change music. Needs to do more than allow facial hair. He needs to add a bat. And you can't count on the trade deadline to do it. And don't tell me anything about money. You spent more money last year. You made a ton of money going to the World Series last year. I know you got the bills. I understand there's a lease. I understand you're paying for the building and your father never had to do that. I get it. No one's asking you to reshape the payroll. Go find a bat for a couple million bucks. Bring in Nolan Arenado. Bring in Luis Arraez. Bring in someone. Because right now the team and this lineup has no depth, no third baseman, no DH, no leadoff hitter. Not good enough. Not up to the standards of the New York Yankees. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Ken in Miller Place. What's up, Ken?
Yeah, how you doing?
Good, how are you, buddy?
I keep on hearing the fan. All you guys always talk about how the Yankees have no depth, no lineup, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
There's not one lineup in the American League that can compete with the Yankees. On top of that, there's not even a rotation other than maybe the Dodgers that can compete with the Yankees.
100% on the rotation.
They can't have an all-star at every single position. On top of that, they have three people vying for that position, which is LeMahieu, which is a former batting champion, two-time batting champion. Granted, he's been not playing well in the last couple of years.
You could argue he was the worst position player in baseball last year.
Not fielding wise, maybe hitting wise. Fielding wise, he's very good. They move him around in a million spots.
Then have him be the utility player. He can't be my everyday third baseman having a 600 OPS. I'm sorry. Because you're asking for a lot. Look, I'm not telling you that he needs to be an all-star in every position. But we're looking at a rookie in left field, right? You're looking at a Cody Bellinger you're hoping is an average Major League Baseball player and very good defensively.
I don't care about former.
I don't care about former. That's 2019.
But then you guys compare him to the Mets, yeah. Who the Mets are sitting there saying, okay, Lindor's a nice player. Soto's a nice player. So Lindor only hit .260. Soto's a nice player because he hit in front of the best player in baseball.
Oh, my God.
Do you think Soto's going to have the same year he's going to have last year?
Ken.
You know, hitting in front of Alonso who hits .230?
Ken. I'm a Yankee fan. I'm there with you, man. You're not being rational. All right, let's not make this a Met-Yankee thing. Let's just focus on the Yankees because the Met lineup is far superior to the Yankee lineup. There's no other way to say it.
It's not even close to superior. It's not even close. If you go down that lineup, player for player, you're going to say, oh, Vientos is going to be, oh, he's going to be great. He had a decent rookie year. What rookie has a solid second year every year? And out of his decent rookie year, he hit 260. 266.
Stop giving me batting average like it's the be-all, end-all. How many home runs did the guy hit? Did you watch him hit game-tying home runs in the playoffs? Did you watch him play last year?
What did he do? Well, yes, he played nice. He was a nice player.
He played nice.
Just like Volpe. Volpe was a nice player in his rookie year.
He's so much better. Look at his season and compare it to anything Anthony Volpe does. It's not worth discussing. Are you serious?
Well, you guys are counting every single bit on Vientos being a rock.
No, I'm not. Listen, look at Lindor is a proven player who was a top three finisher in MVP last year. Juan Soto is a top three hitter in the sport. Alonso hits 40 home runs every single year. Vientos just had a great regular season as a rookie and is and showed it in the postseason.
Alonso's a former MVP?
No, I didn't.
Who cares about former MVP?
I didn't say Alonso's not a former MVP. I said Alonso hits 40 home runs a year. He had 35 last year in a bad year.
How many did
Goldschmidt hit? How many did Bellinger hit?
25, 26.
Yeah, okay. He hits 35 and it was called a terrible year. I'm just telling you.
It was a terrible year for him. But I'll tell you this. If I'm a pitcher, I would pitch around every single day. I'll pitch around Soto to get to Alonso. Every single day. He is not that
good. So then he'll walk and have an on-base percentage. I'm telling you right now. Is there a chance that last year is the best year of Juan Soto's career because of Yankee Stadium, because of Aaron Judge? Sure. Is there a chance he never hits 40 home runs again? Yeah, I suppose. But here's the issue.
Well, and
don't diminish what he is.
Maybe here's another thing.
Don't diminish what he is.
You put Soto in that right field, which is probably arguably one of the hardest right fields outside of Boston in the major league. What is he going to do out in the outfield?
Yeah, I mean, I don't care.
Soto's going to be a DH.
Yeah, maybe in a couple of years, that's fine. But the idea that he's not going to hit. Let me ask you a question. Do you remember 2019 when he was like the World Series hero and hitting home runs off of Verlander and like being unbelievable and being one of the best players in the league in 2019?
You mean in 2019 when Bellinger won the MVP?
Yes, because it makes the point. Do you know who was hitting fourth in front of behind him for protection?
I don't know.
Howie Kendrick. So tell me again why Soto needs Judge.
Years,
Soto doesn't need Judge to be a great player. Ken, I appreciate the fighting for the Yankees. I'm there with you. All right, I'm not telling you the Yankees need a position, an all-star at every position. I appreciate. Don't try and make this a Yankee Met thing. The Yankees have way better pitching. The Yankees rotation is light years ahead of the Mets rotation in my mind. It's light years ahead. They have two pitchers that are better than any pitcher on the Mets. And they have the rookie of the year. Like, I think the rotation is far, far superior. I think the bullpen is much better than the New York Mets. The Yankees pitching is far better than the New York Mets. Don't compare the lineups. It's not a good look. And you're not going to win the argument. The lineup was better last year. You could argue the Mets lineup was better last year. Had more guys in it that had 700 OPSs. Go through the position by position. Okay, go through it. Tell me where the Yankees, I think catcher's a wash. I'll give you that. Alvarez has had a longer track record, but he's had some real struggles offensively. And what I saw from Wells in the second half of the year, let's just call it a wash if we're being fair to Yankee fans. And why not? I'm one, you're one. So let's call the let's call the catcher a wash. First base, as much as I love Paul Goldschmidt, and if he returns to his MVP form, sure. But right now, Pete Alonso's the better offensive first baseman. Better offensive first baseman. Second base, Jazz and McNeil. I'll give Jazz the edge, but McNeil's a former batting title champion, and Jazz has a lot to prove, but let's give Jazz the edge there. Shortstop, not even close. Third base, not even close. Left field, Nimmo better than a rookie Dominguez. Center field, Bellinger. And right field is, I'll give you Judge because he's great, but Soto's right there with him. And the differences in first base, shortstop, and third base are miles better than any other advantage the Yankees have. Don't try. Listen, Vientos has a sophomore jinx to kind of avoid and has to prove something, but I mean, come on. Did you watch him? The Met lineup is much better than the Yankees. And I'm not saying the Yankees need an all-star at every position. Where did I give you the all-star? I guess, you know, I'm clamoring for Arise, and he's a batting champion, sure. But, again, he had like a one war last year. Teams are trying to get rid of him. He's not making a lot of money. That's not like an all-star caliber player. I'm screaming for Nolan Arenado. He's not an all-star caliber player anymore. I'm not screaming to go out. Not once did I say, oh my, I didn't even have the Evan take of if they don't sign Bregman, it's a disaster. Go out there and spend for Bregman. I didn't even say that. I understood. I don't want to pay $40 million for Bregman. I'm not asking for an all-star. I'm asking for a legitimate option. And don't give me, you know, how great DJ LeMahieu was 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I know. I was there and how great he was. Have you seen him in the last two where he's done exactly nothing and he can't hit? And hasn't even finished the season healthy in forever? Like, sorry. I'd love to be more of a help with Tia because I'm a Yankee guy. And I still think the Yankees are the best team in the American League. I don't know if you could say they have the best lineup in the American League. Look at the Boston Red Sox lineup. Tell me it's not right there with the Yankee lineup. I mean, look at all the young players that the Orioles are throwing at you. And tell me that lineup isn't pretty damn close or the same as the Yankee lineup. And if they have one more injury, they've got nobody. The bench is Trent Grisham. That's it. Ben Rice, Trent Grisham. That's the bench. Oswaldo Cabrera, whoever loses that battle at third base. Like, sorry. The Yankees need another bat. They've just lost Giancarlo Stanton. The Yankees need another bat. Love their pitching. They need another bat. And I'm not saying it has to be an all-star. And why do we have to make this Met Yankee? Like, I know we have some fun with it. You can't tell me as a Yankee fan. I'm sorry. And I'm as big a Yankee fan as there is. And I'll still tell you, the Yankees might win more games, and I would tell you the Yankees have a better chance to win the World Series than the Mets do because of the American League. I'm not ready to roll over and die for the New York Mets, but you can't tell me you think the lineup is better. You can't tell me you think the lineup is better. It's not. Things can change. Maybe Cody Bellinger becomes the 2019 MVP again. Maybe Goldschmidt becomes the 22 MVP again, and it is. I hope I'm wrong. I hope those two things happen, and the Yankee lineup is devastatingly good. You can't go into it expecting those things. We haven't seen those things in years. I saw Vientos hit home runs in the postseason last year and be an impossible out. I know who Juan Soto is. I know what Lindor is. Even Nimmo. Like, the lineup is far better. Far better.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
And let me just say this to Yankee fans, and I hope you can take being lectured by the Yankee shill for half a second, because I'm one of you. Please don't. It's so stupid, tired, and patently ridiculous. Yankee fans, do not knock Juan Soto. Just don't do it. It's so beneath us, quite honestly. Because every single one of us, unless you just are an idiot, every single one of us would have rejoiced if he signed the $760 million and stayed with the Yankees for 16 years. Every one of us would have been dancing in the streets if he signed that contract. And rightfully so. So please, the one argument, if you want to make this, he was better with the Yankees than he'll be with the Mets in front of Judge and Yankee Stadium. I mean, it's a senseless argument, but okay. Like, could I, if I'm being honest, could I see last year being one of the better years of his career and maybe not the best year, and maybe the next 15 don't surpass 40 home runs or whatever? I don't know, maybe. But who cares? He is a great player. And we know what he's going to be. And not that he proved it with the home run in spring training by any means, but like, you knew eyeballs were going to be on you. There's a little bit of pressure there, a little bit. Not the same as, you know, playoffs or meaningful games, but just enough where hitting the home run's impressive. It just is, man. He is a unbelievable, great talent who literally hit the home run to send the Yankees to their first World Series since 2009. Don't bring up the DH crap, because we would have gladly watched him play right field for the next decade. Just stop. Stop. Please. You want to call up and say the Yankee lineup's better? We can have a discussion. I'll disagree with you, but we can have a discussion. You want to talk about, you know, the Yankees are better off without Juan Soto because they're able to put the money in different places. Again, I'll agree with you, but we can have a discussion. Don't try and tell me the Mets made a mistake. Don't try and tell me right field's too tough. Don't try and tell me that he won't be as good without, he won't be a great player without Judge hitting behind him. Like, come on. The guy's been a great player his whole career. And again, I only bring up 19. I know I dismissed 2019 MVPs because along the way, since that 2019 MVP, Bellinger was so bad the Dodgers released him. All right, let's not act like that's not part of the story. He was so bad, not even just off of his MVP numbers. He was so bad that the Dodgers released him. So, yeah, I'm not going to get hung up on what he did in 2019, but Soto has been great from 2019 through to today, and he did it with the likes of Howie Kendrick hitting behind him. Soto doesn't need Judge. Judge doesn't need Soto. Great players don't need another great player to be great. Does it help? Sure. But let's not act like Soto wasn't who he was before he met Judge, and he won't be again now that Judge is gone from him. Like, he's going to be great. As long as he is healthy and plays 155 games, he's going to hit 30 to 35 home runs. He's going to have an on-base percentage damn near 400, and he's going to be a great hitter. He's going to drive in runs in that lineup. He is going to be the best player in that lineup. He is going to be the best player for the Mets for the next decade. So please, there's plenty of stuff to talk about, and there's plenty of things you can point to if you're determined on saying the Yankees are better than the Mets. There's an argument. Let's not knock Soto, because we're going to start to, as the season goes on here, we're going to start seeing the highlights. Obviously, opening day is going to come, and we're going to have to deal with watching Juan Soto in a Met uniform, and that's something that's going to be difficult for a lot of Yankee fans, including myself. Not going to like it. But don't resort to trying bashing a player who sent us to the World Series and who every single one of us wishes was still in the uniform. So don't do it. Just don't do it. Don't do it to your friends. Don't do it to yourself in the mirror. Just don't do it to yourself. Don't. Go help an old lady cross the street, okay? Find a better way to use your time than to knock Juan Soto, okay? Ralph in Bradley Beach. What's up, Ralph?
Hey, C-Mac.
What's up, buddy?
Show, but I don't know what these guys are smoking, but you got that pinpointed. It's not even close.
No, the lineup is far better.
It's not even close. I don't know what's going on, but forget about that right now. I just got 10 tickets donated to the St. John Seton Hall kid for his underprivileged kid.
Oh, nice.
I am psyched. Yeah, it was a nice guy, a Wall Street guy, comes through every once in a while. So my kids are pumped. I'm pumped. And it's going to be the storm's rising. Forget about it. The storm is rising.
That's the only thing we should be talking about right now. That's it. Forget this Yankee nonsense, this Met nonsense.
You are the man.
Who's the quarterback for the Jets or Giants? Let's go. Nothing but Red Storm.
But let's go Red Storm.
I'm with you.
Right now.
They just got right there. The seventh team in the country. They play as good a defense as any team in the country. They're as difficult to play as any team in the country. And it's just going to come down to if they hit their shots and if they have the scoring.
Big man. You're the man. You know your stuff. Can we make the Sweet Elite Eight? Can we make the eight?
I mean,
possibly.
Yeah, I mean, it's not impossible. It's not easy. It's not easy to get picked off. If the shots aren't falling, that's then the name of the game. So I'm still concerned about the amount of scoring. But yeah, they are a suffocating defense. The effort level is through the roof. Pitino has them playing hard every second of every game. Richmond's bought in. Like, they are all just absolutely, they fight and claw for every inch. So, I mean, they are a very difficult team to face. As you've seen, they've taken down UConn twice. UConn's not the same as it was the past 2 years, but still, they took down Marquette. And I would put them right there in that next group. Like, I think, again, not paying too much attention to college basketball, except for, like, the last 3 weeks or so, and, you know, reading up on it and watching, like, right now, Auburn and Duke seem to be the two best teams in the country. And I would put St. John's right there in that next tier. I really would. I think they're right below those two teams. So could they make the Elite Eight? Right now they're the seventh-ranked team in the country. If they're a three seed and they can stay out of the bracket with either one of those two teams, I think anything is possible, yeah. I do. Especially with Rick Pitino on the bench. You're not going to get out-coached. You're not going to get out-maneuvered. Brett in Long Island, what's up, Brett?
You said we'd all be rejoicing if they, you know, re-sign Soto.
Only the sensible
but
ones.
I don't know. I know a bunch of guys that said that's a lot of years and a lot of money. And this is what I think about. Mm-hmm. A-Rod, Judge, Soto, I'll ask you. A-Rod was worth it. He got the World Series. He was an MVP type of player, mm-hmm. I think, in 2009. Judge got him, I guess, right? It doesn't really get you there in the postseason, but I guess so far the body of work.
Well, I'm
asking you now, it leaves to Soto.
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking you. All right, so fast forward.
You're talking to me, so I'm assuming you're asking me.
Good.
Let's say he stays there for the whole contract.
Yes.
What do you need out of him to you know, for it to be worth the money? Because the Mets haven't won a World Series in 40 years. So what does he need to do there to make this worthwhile?
I mean, to make it worthwhile just in number of championships?
16 years, like, 750. I don't know. I mean, what do you want
I want him to be a great player. Like, really. I mean,
he is a great player.
Well, that's it. I want him to be a great player.
Nah, it's more than that. That's not true. When you sign the guy for three-quarters of
you
want
to
win. Dollars,
I mean, the owner has talked about 3 to 4 championships in those 15 years. But it's, I mean, listen,
I'm just saying.
It's a hard question. He's not the quarterback of an NFL team. Like, if he hits 500 in the World Series and they lose in Game 7, am I going to kill him and say it wasn't worth the signing? Like, I don't know how to view it. But, yeah, theoretically, they have to win a championship. They have to win one. That's it.
My point is, if you act like it's a done deal, like, oh, we lost, I don't know. I look at that, like, more times than not, that doesn't work, right? You can play, even though he is great in the postseason. More times than not, the big contract doesn't work. Do you agree or not? But yet you're saying, oh, my God, they got him. Plus, we did offer the money. Yeah. I don't know about the big contract. Show me the ones that are foolproof, you know?
There's no such thing as foolproof, of course. I'm just saying I wish he was a Yankee and not a Met. You disagree?
But that might have been a choke, though. I don't know. I don't know what I wish. It's so many years. I don't know anymore.
Yeah, I want the great player. I want as many great players on my team. I watched him hit the home run that sent us to the World Series. I saw how devastating the two of them back to back were in a lineup for the rest of the American League. Everyone said they only have two good hitters. Well, those two good hitters led the American League in runs. So, I don't know why in the world you wouldn't want Juan Soto to be a Yankee under the guise of, hey, it doesn't guarantee me championships.
For the money and the time, meaning,
yeah, I want
you know,
it.
The two decades, you did want it. Okay, well,
of course I wanted it. Absolutely. I would have rejoiced in the streets. I was disappointed when the Mets signed him, and I would have been thrilled if the Yankees signed him to that contract for 15, 16 years, 100%. He's 26 years old.
What about Judge's contract? And we didn't even talk about injuries either. Let's not even go there.
Well, of course. All of it's possible.
I know, but when you pay that money. What about Judge so far with his contract?
Yeah.
You know Stanton's is a bust, even though he's Babe Ruth in the postseason.
Yeah.
With Jeter. But what about Judge? What do you think of his contract so far? Was it 7 years? At the time the money got paid, his injuries,
he's got another
so many games.
No, well, not since the contract, just the one injury running into the wall, which is a fluke injury running into the wall in L.A. He played all of last year. I mean, look, if you want me to bash the Judge contract because he hasn't won a World Series in the first 2 years of it, we can. And ultimately, yeah, he's going to be judged. He's going to be judged as the Yankee captain and the Yankee great by how many championships. But I'm sorry. I know maybe I view things differently. I know. I know they haven't won a World Series since 2009 and we can't live with ourselves or look at ourselves in the mirror. I get it. But like, if Judge hits 50 home runs a year for the next 7 years and drives in 120 runs a year and wins two or three more MVPs, and they make it to the playoffs every one of those years, and they make it to the World Series a handful, even if they come up short in the World Series, he will be known for not performing in the clutch if he continues to do that. But how could I look Judge or the Yankees or anybody else in the face and say, oh my God, it wasn't worth it? If he's a great player for the entirety of the contract and wins MVPs and takes them to the playoffs and is the reason they get there, like, I'm going to have a tough time saying, oh my God, what a waste of $400 million. But that's me. Because nobody wants to think about the other side of it. Like, who's the guarantee that you bring in and win championships with? Who should they do that? Like, and I know I use this example a lot, and there's a ton of them. Did the Red Sox know they were signing the World Series MVP when they brought in Steve Pierce? The journeyman Steve Pierce, did they know they were going to get an absolute beast in the postseason to carry a 108-win team through the playoffs? Did they know that? Like, did the Cardinals know what they had in Freeze, that they were going to have a stud who hits big clutch home runs in every single at-bat to win them a championship in 2011? Did they know that? Like, sometimes, like, it's hard to... I was just watching this. Someone was arguing about Scott Brosius, and his Yankeeography was just on. Like, when they traded for the 210-hitting Scott Brosius from the... Athletics, did they know they were getting a 300 hitter who was going to win the World Series MVP that year? Like, there's no guarantee. It's about signing as many great players and hoping they perform. Now, Judge has had a really bad last handful of postseasons, so bad that it brings all of his postseason numbers down. He's hit a home run in every wild card game they've won, which that's the same as the Game 7. He hit really well in the Red Sox series in 18 that they lost. He hit really well in the Houston series that they lost in 19. Like, he hasn't been a dreadful postseason player forever, but he's been so bad, particularly the last couple, that it's dragged every number down, and I can't say anything else other than he's not performed in the postseason. But, like, I'm sorry. I don't view it. I know they're the Yankees, and it's all about championships, and I'm not trying to change that. But if he's a great player and wins multiple MVPs and takes the Yankees to 100 wins and division titles and sends them to the postseason, and then, like, he's bound to have a good postseason here or there, but if he never wins a championship, like, is it worth it? I don't know. To me, in my mind, I'm going to have a hard time saying it wasn't. To me, the Stanton contract, is it worth it? He hardly ever plays. Is, you know, the Pavano contract worth it? He hardly ever pitched. Like, is the Mike Mussina contract? Was the Mike Mussina contract worth it? Never won a championship, but he was a great pitcher for how long? I would tell you that contract was worth it. Like, you got to win a championship, otherwise it's not worth it? I guess Don Mattingly's whole career wasn't worth it. I guess David Wright's contract. Oh, well, I mean, obviously, that was a bad example. Any Met ever? There you go. I got to have the anti-Met thing come out every once in a while. 451, McMonagle here with you. Maybe they should have traded Piazza. It wasn't worth it.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
456, McMonagle here with you for another few minutes. And I get the argument. I don't know about the worth it part. Like, if Juan Soto wins two or three MVPs, has a great year, is one of the best players in baseball for 15 years, gets them to the playoffs, you know, 14, 13 out of the 15 years, and is a great player without a championship, is it worth it? Yeah, I think the signing's still worth it. Will it be ultimately viewed as a disappointment tenure in Met history? Yes. There are two different things.
Well, in that case, then, wouldn't you say that, okay, obviously they didn't do the right things around him if he has the kind of success and numbers you just laid out?
Right. That's part of it. Like, they don't have to win a championship for the contract to be worth it. They have to win a championship for the Soto era to be viewed in a positive light. It ultimately will feel disappointing that you don't win a championship when you sign that great player. You're expecting to win a championship. Same thing with Judge. I would never say the contract wasn't worth it. I am glad he's in a uniform. He's one of the great players. He's, in my mind, the greatest hitter playing in baseball right now and arguably the greatest hitter of this generation. I want him in the uniform. I know he hasn't hit in the postseason. I get it. Eventually he will. I still feel strongly about that. But even if his tenure comes to an end without a championship, I will never say it wasn't worth it as long as he's the great player he is now. Will I look back on it as fondly as I view the Jeter tenure? No. It won't be the same. It'll be ultimately disappointing. He'll be the guy who never won a championship, and, you know, he didn't help himself and blah, 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 but worth $400 million to win the division as much as they've won it and, you know, have a great player playing great and get to watch him every day. Baseball's 162. It's a little bit about the journey and not just the destination all the time. Like, sometimes we get warped into that. Like, it's just about the destination. It's about the journey. It's 162. I love watching him play. Part of the reason I'm disappointed Soto's not a Yankee is I love watching him hit. That's as big a part as anything else. I love watching the guy play. I watch 162 of these a year. I score them in spring training. I love the game. I love the product. I love watching the games. I love watching the best players in the game play. I loved watching Juan Soto hit. Worth it? Absolutely. Disappointing? We'll find out. Peter in Manhattan. What's up, Pete?
How are you doing, Chris? I hope your family's doing well.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, look, Ted Williams and Barry Bonds ever won the World Series.
Right.
Chris, just quickly, today in the afternoon show, they were saying convincingly that hitting in 2025 is a lot more critical than pitching, you know, to get ahead or to win championships. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. I mean, I don't know what the answer is. So
yeah, it's two sides of every coin. I can tell you as a Yankee fan that traditionally they've lost because they haven't hit. That they've pitched well enough, but they haven't hit. I don't know. If you have no pitching, good luck. If you have no hitting, it's two sides of the coin. Like, I have no idea. I mean, the position, if you want to say what's a more valuable player, I'd rather have Aaron Judge than the best pitcher in the world. I'd rather have Juan Soto than the best pitcher in the world because they play 162 games and they impact every one of them. So would I rather have the big-time player? Yes. But come postseason time, pitching versus hitting, to win a championship? I have no idea. What's more valuable all year long than hitting? All right, thank you for that question as we end the show, everybody. I'll catch you at midnight. Thanks, Fliegelman. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.